Yes, you do, and you know it, jackass.
Sir, what if he means it? We're dead men if we stay in here.
Nathan slapped in his last clip for the long blaster.
Listen to your man. I also give my word of honor as the Baron of Front Royal.
We help each other or die.
Firing at the Casanova troops, Ryan added,
Your call!
Minutes passed.
Agreed.
Overton blew thunder at the enemy with his huge M60. Every man hit flipped over as if struck by a cannonball. But more of the Casanova sec men darted amid the wreckage in the rock.
They're over here, under the avalanche.
By the three Kennedys.
Doc stared at the small mountain of dirt and grass covering the left face of the hill.
How are we supposed to move a ton of dirt while under attack?
Any C4?
JB shook his head.
Not a thing. I'm out.
Unexpectedly, Nathan dropped his backpack.
I was saving this for our retreat, but now I see it'll serve us better as a shovel.
Rock out of range?
Unfortunately, yes.
Excuse me, my lord.
A sec man fumbled to load his rifle with a bloody hand.
But now that we know where the fuses are...
I gave my word, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Of course. My mistake.
Nathan knelt to open the pack. Tugging open the canvas sack, Nathan withdrew the ungainly object from within. It was the MM1 multi-round Gren launcher from the fortress. Angling the wide barrel of the weapon upward slightly, Nathan took a stance and fired. The blaster gave a soft thump, and the 38mm Gren smacked directly into the loose dirt, blowing away a huge gout of soil, but more immediately tumbled down the slope to fill the hole.
Sure hope that doesn't set them off.
If it does, what difference does it make?
Good point.
Again and again, the Baron triggered the Gren launcher, slowly digging a hole in the crumbling dirt until the wooden top of a buried crate was exposed.
That's it.
Ryan dropped his heavy coat and readied his weapons.
Get those bastards busy while I take care of business.
Got you covered.
JB fired another flare into the woods to the right of the boulder. The Casanova troops cried out, running away from the bright light, and retreated into safety behind the large rock. The armorer fired again to the right of the boulder as Ryan took off at a run. Then Nathan triggered the grenade launcher, but this time aiming for the boulder. The 38mm rounds fell short, but when they struck the ground, the blasts threw clouds of dirt into the air. Each time he fired, the weapon bucked in his two-handed grip. Then the exposed wheel under the barrel rotated one notch, beating a fresh Gren into the huge maw of the ungainly weapon. Christie dropped her own backpack and withdrew the Thompson 22 Overton had dropped outside the ville. It had poor killing power, but she'd keep the Casanova troops ducked out of sight until she ran out of ammo, which would be quite a while.
Hit them!
Christie's Tommy gun chattered ferociously. The rest of the companions joined her. Dean grabbed an AK-47 from a dead brown shirt and fired the weapon on full auto. He only had a vague idea what his father was doing, but had learned long ago to always trust the man. If his father thought this was their best bet, Dean agreed. End of discussion.
Oh, shit.
Jack reloaded his blaster quickly. Holding the Lama between his legs, Doc was purging the chambers of the antique wheel gun of spent powder before packing it with fresh powder and ball.
Most assuredly, my young friend. We cannot trust Overton any more than we can the Casanova troops.
Less.
Dodging the corpses and blast craters, Ryan zigzagged his way across the battlefield, heading for the hole in the ground. Explosions filled the clearing, and he felt something sting him between the shoulder blades, but he kept going. Diving into the pit, he hit the dirt rolling and came up in a combat crouch. A Casanova sec man, peeking out of a bush, gasped at his unexpected appearance and swung a crossbow in Ryan's direction. But the one-eyed warrior already had his Sig Sauer out and blew the man away with a shot to the temple. Half his head gone, the man flopped backward as if exceedingly tired and had decided to lie down for a nap. Holstering his piece, Ryan started shoveling handfuls of dirt out of the hole, trying to clear away the wooden planks buried underneath. Suddenly, Overton landed sprawling alongside him. The self-proclaimed Baron flipped over with his Desert Eagle hand cannon out and ready, only to find Ryan pointing his 9mm pistol at him. For a short eternity, they stayed frozen in that position, their blasters motionless, while the world outside the hole raged in combat.
Didn't want me to use the second set of fuses leading into the cave, eh?
Overton could only stare at the man and wonder.
Use it or lose it. We got no time for this. Seconds count.
Relaxing his stance, Overton tucked away the blaster.
The fuses are over here.
Together, the enemies cleared away the loose dirt, then used their combat knives to pry up the boards. Below was a small wooden room, a packing crate buried in the dirt. Several plastic pipes stuck out of the slats, four heading toward the boulder, four more going toward the nearby cave. What appeared to be dirty strings dangled from the open ends of the pipes. The men climbed inside, and the noise of the battle diminished. Taking hold of the northern fuses, Overton patted his pockets and cursed.
Nuke storm, I dropped the matches.
Tucking his blaster into his belt, Ryan pulled out a small butane lighter.
Any order?
What?
Is there a sequence, damn it?
No sequence. Just light anyone.
Damn amateur.
Ryan lit every fuse there was in the northern pipes. Almost instantly, the burning strings vanished out of sight with a sizzling hiss. Turning quickly with his blaster drawn, Ryan found Overton in the exact same position. This time, neither relaxed his stance.
How did you know about this trap? How did you know? Do I have a traitor in my troops? Tell me, or die.
So much for your word of honor. But I really didn't expect any better from rat-blasted trash like you.
Tell me!
About the fuses in the trap? Fire blast, boy, it couldn't have been more obvious. It's exactly what I would have done.
What are they doing?
The lieutenant peered out from the side of the boulder. The private packed his muzzleloader with a ramrod.
I think they're digging in for cover.
Struggling to clear a jam in a patchwork machine gun, a corporal growled unhappily.
Crap. It'll take us forever to squeeze them out.
Order, sir.
The sergeant thumbed fresh rounds into a homemade shotgun. Scowling thoughtfully, the lieutenant started to speak when the ground thunderously erupted beneath their boots, sending their broken, twisted bodies hurtling into the starry sky. Two more tremendous explosions occurred on either side of the gaping hole, spreading the destruction wide, claiming a dozen more men, and spraying a wave of shrapnel across the rest, killing and maiming a dozen more. Breaking loose from their restraints, the terrified horses plowed through the stunned setmen, galloping madly away into the night.
Retreat!
The Casanova troops broke ranks and charged for the dirt road. Already burning, the underground fuses outraced the attackers, and a fast series of strident explosions ripped apart the dirt road, annihilating the wounded men. Bloody gobbets of flesh raining across the forest for hundreds of yards.
Holy shit!
Nathan lowered the Gren launcher. A single live round remained in the breech of the Predar cannon.
It worked!
That's called a sequence strike.
JB lit a cheroot.
Nasty.
Efficient.
Clem and Jack made no comment, taking the opportunity to reload their weapons.
Where's my dad?
Dean looked across the dark clearing toward the well-lit cave.
Done.
Ryan glanced at the fuses leading in the other direction, and that was when Overton made his move. Pretending to be in pain, Overton tossed away his blaster, the movement catching Ryan's attention for a vital split second. The other man grabbed the one-eyed man's gun arm and batted the weapon to the floor. Ryan pulled out his panga, just in time to block a strike from a massive bowie knife.
Now you're done.
The combatants circled each other warily. Overton's blade was covered with ornate silver filigree, but the edge was shiny sharp. It was pretty, but highly functional. Shuffling his feet, Overton jabbed for a quick kill, and Ryan easily blocked the thrust to his armpit. Damn, the man knew how to knife fight. That was bad news. Amateurs went for the face or belly. Pros tried for the armpits or inside the thighs. Those were the locations of major arteries, and a cut there killed quickly. Contemptuously, Overton tossed his knife from hand to hand in a steady pattern designed to frighten and disorient a novice knife fighter. But Ryan knew that no trained knife fighter ever let go of his weapon, and that hand-to-hand thing was for idiots. It was much too easy for a quick man to kick the blade away and you were defenseless. So only a fool would do such a thing. Or, he added, a highly trained fighter who wanted you to think he was stupid and lure you into a sucker attack. Ryan stepped away from